You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Again, to make sure it starts recording again. All right. So, Suzanne, you're 1, I'm 2.
Okay.
Generate. And number 1. So that means you're going.
That's me.
That is you. So, okay. You get to run the whole kit and caboodle. You're in charge.
Oh, jeez. I'm new at this, though.
I have faith in you.
Okay.
Use the force.
Use the force. Okay.
You got this.
Stay on target.
Okay. Stop laughing. Okay. All right. Well.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Puff and Stuff. Push your bed when things get rough. HR Puff and Stuff. Can't do a little because it can't be enough.
This is Suzanne Mattaboni saying hi as the next episode of Banzai Retro Club. And what we're doing today is we have each picked a movie to talk about. And one by one, we are doing an episode together. I have both Dave and Scott here with me.
Hello.
That's Dave.
Yes.
Scott. Hello.
Okay.
Not to be confused with Scott.
Okay.
It's easier to remember. It's straight out of Dave.
Yeah. We're going to have to remind
you're taking my tagline. Straight out of Compton, really?
Yes. Okay.
Straight out of Bonsai.
Straight out of Bonsai.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay.
Okay.
That sounds like a sticker somewhere.
Okay, so I have picked a movie. And I have one word for you guys, and if you don't understand it, you'll think I'm nuts. But if not, the word is me.
Sorry, say again.
Me.
Me.
Me. Oh my God, you guys don't get that?
I don't.
Oh man. All right. So this is the thing. I decided to go with a 70s movie. Okay. Because I didn't want to conflict with any of the movies on the essential list. And because I thought we might conflict as far as, it, you know, maybe picking the same great big movie that's, you know, going to be a big talk in the future.
Right.
but I am picking Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, okay. I get it now.
I should have gotten that reference.
Oh, man. So you've seen the movie and you didn't get the knee.
Yeah, I know. Damn it! I feel so inadequate now.
I didn't hear the N. I heard the M.
Yeah, that's
okay,
what I heard.
I thought it was. I thought you were saying me. I'm like no. Me, but knee. I knee is that's like the that's the it's not the knights of
the
knee.
Knights of knee.
Knights of knee. Yes.
Knights of knee. Yeah.
No, the knights who say me. The knights who say me. Sorry, this just cracks me up.
Oh, man, this is just an excellent pick.
Once in a lifetime, there comes a motion picture which changes the whole history of motion pictures. A picture so stunning in its effect, so vast in its impact, that it profoundly affects the lives of all who see it. One such film is...
Very good, thank you. Yes, thank you. Next, please.
Once in a lifetime, there comes a motion picture which changes the whole history of motion pictures.
Yes, thank you. Next.
Once in a lifetime!
Go away.
What?
Next.
What's wrong with my voice? My voice is all right, my brain is wrong.
有时候，有一部电影可以把整个电影的历史起了改变。
That's more like it.
库鲁萨瓦的 Seven Samurai 就是这样的一部电影。 还有 Ivan the Terrible， 其余的都是平常的电影。 像 Herbie Rides Again， La Notte 和 Monty Python and the Holy Grail。 Monty Python and the Holy Grail 有许多滑稽的。
If you do not open this door, we shall take this castle by force.
故事紧张。One
day, lad. All this will be yours.
What, the curtains? Run away!
还有一些不花许多钱的危险账面。
Run away!
Please run away!
What makes you think she's a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
但是和 The Seven Seal 来比一下。 这部电影就非常幼稚。 所以，如果您是一个知识界记的小家伙，您也喜欢傻笑什么事，也不能跟着。Monty Python and the Holy Grail， 看完了，来这里吃便饭。
When you talk about, I think if there's any movie that has been quoted more in my lifetime with the people that I've been friends with, I can't really think of one. So, yeah, they're running around with freaking coconuts. They don't even have horses. They're just pretending to have horses.
Now, how did that sound? Did that sound like?
I heard it.
Like,
I got it.
I heard it.
The coconuts. Right. And
it's
what
Scott
is the
on his royal steed?
What's the SP velocity of a laden swallow?
Oh my God! Why, you have watched this one
European.
A lot.
European. What's that? Yeah.
You've watched this one a lot.
Yeah, watched it a lot, and in fact, telling my husband that this was the one I wanted to talk about, he had to put it on so that he could watch it again.
Oh, nice.
Did you watch it, like, all of it?
Almost all of it, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is nice. It's not even that long a movie. Like, these days, like, you put on a movie, it's like you're in it for, like, 2.5-3 hours. This was, like, you know, hour and a half, and it was done.
Like 94 minutes or something, right?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. And then part of that is credits, you know? That's just like, they like have 10 minutes of credits in the beginning, and they're like that fake Dutch subtitles, and they're going off on tangents and, you know, talking about how you feed the moose and all this kind of stuff. So,
it is 1 hour and 31 minutes.
There you go. See? Nice and concise. Mm-hmm. This is something that we thought as we were watching is that every single scene is a huge gag and a huge sketch. And there is like nothing in between them. It's just joke, 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 joke. And it never stops. It's hysterical. And the satire just goes on forever.
It's only a flesh wound.
It's only flesh. I've had worse. I've had worse.
Come on. It's only a flesh wound. I could take you.
I'll bite your legs off. Oh, Webb, I just love, like, the depictions of religion. They've got, like, these monks walking around who are chanting, you know, about rest, you know, and death and, you know, Aramaic or something, and banging themselves on the head between every stanza with some kind of stone tablet. It's just, like, mind-numbing. It's so silly. But, you know...
Dead.
I'm not dead yet. Oh, shut up. You'll be gone in a minute. Okay, so who wants to comment first on this between the two of you?
Hey, why don't you go first?
When you brought it up, I was like, oh my God, that's a perfect pick, because it feels like it falls in line with, you know, where we started our conversation. You know, it goes on for that same stupid humor, you know, that, you know, was going on with Spinal Tap. You know, so it feels like a great continuation of that conversation. And
English.
Yeah. You know, English humor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's even more apropos of falling in line with that. And every time, when I've ever watched this movie, I always feel like it's like watching the TV show Monty Python and the Flying Circus, because it's a bunch of skits that are kind of tied together loosely with this storyline of King Arthur. It's so funny. It's just, and you know what I love so much about it is you know, things like, it's so relatable and quotable, you know, for those that have seen it from way back when. And it even, you know, it invades even, you know, current pop culture, where people throw out these references and you're like, oh, I get it now. You know, much like you said with the coconuts and the nice to say ni. And, you know, in like, even like one of my favorite books even references this, you know, this movie, you know, Ready Player One. There's a sequence where they've got to act out the movie, and it's this movie. So, you know, it's like one of those things that it's continually to go around, and I love that, the fact that this movie doesn't get old with our generation.
Like, the two main players, I know Graham Chapman was like one of the main characters, but John Cleese and Eric Idle went on to do many other things after Monty Python. Like, when they were both in A Fish Called Wanda, I just thought that was hysterical.
Yeah, I think that was Michael Palin, and that was a hysterical movie too.
It was a funny movie. And Eric Idle and Michael Palin. Oh no, wait.
John Cleese and Michael Palin. Was Eric Idle in that one also?
Eric Idle was the guy with the he's the one that had the stutter, wasn't it?
No, I think that was Michael Palin.
That was Palin. Michael Palin. Okay. I'm confusing the two.
So Eric Idle will play
Eric Idle. Okay,
Dead Collector, Peasant One, Sir Robin, the not so quite as brave as Sir Lancelot.
Yeah, see, the thing is, they played everybody.
Yeah.
They played everybody in the movie. It's like they didn't, you know, why bother to hire extras when you can do it funnier yourself, I guess.
I like, here's Terry Gilliam. One of his characters was Old Man from Scene 24, Bridge.
Yes. Yes, and they call him that in the movie when they talk about
old
him.
Man.
It's like, there's the old man from Scene 24. What is he doing here? He's the keeper of the bridge.
Nice.
He's the god of eternal peril. Wait, I can't get the R's right. Peril. The god of eternal peril.
Hello.
Now, which one was...
Gotta roll the R's.
Yes.
The part where the knight that had the person that was doing the songs about him. What was
Sir Robin with the minstrels who was singing
Sir
about
Robin.
Him?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the minstrel that was
I haven't seen this movie in so long. I really should revisit it because it's so funny.
Yeah, well, all the knights split up at one point, and they each had their own sketches. So Sir Robin And he had a bunch of singing minstrels with him who were like singing songs about his life. So they get to this one, like three-headed monster person or whatever it is. They're threatening to kill him. And as the three heads are arguing with each other, he runs and the minstrels follow him. So now the minstrels are singing, Sir Robin ran away. He chickened out to the castle.
Yeah, they're like singing the narrative.
Right. Yeah. And Robin is going, I did not! I didn't! Throughout the whole song. It's brilliant stuff.
I'm so glad that you like this kind of humor because it falls in line with my pick of Spinal Tap because it's really just like, it's really silly. I don't want to call it slapstick. It's not slapstick. Three Stooges are slapstick. But this is just really off the wall, weird, quirky humor. And I love that you picked this movie. That's great.
Yeah, no, maybe you guys were thinking I was going to pick a chick flick or something romantic, and I thought about it. I thought about it, but I think a lot of them are on that 80s list, and so I thought not. And I won't say what my backup films were in case, Dave, you happen to pick it. But I'll talk about it. If you don't pick it, I'll talk about it later. But it ties into Spinal Tap also. So, yeah,
wow.
In a certain way, yes.
Yeah, my pick will not tie into either one of these movies.
Well, you never know. It could be like kind of Kevin Bacon's 7 Degrees of Separation thing. Could,
maybe. we'll find out.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Yep.
So, you said Kevin Bacon makes me think of Footloose, right? Mm-hmm. There's somebody that posts on Twitter all the time. They post a little clip of a movie and says, what movie is this? And everybody throws in, you know, what they believe it is. And just for fun, I threw out Flashdance. But it was Footloose. I'm just like,
I like when people post something and they say, what movie is this? Wrong answers only. Yeah. And you have to come up with an alternative movie title that describes that scene. And, you know, yeah, I love to amuse people that way. I think it's fun. These are the things I like about Twitter that make it worth putting up with, you know, all the crazy vitriol that goes on there.
Yeah, the other bullshit that's out there.
Yeah, yeah, that you got to kind of try and block and pretend doesn't exist.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of muting lately.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
But in any case, so if I have to ask each of you guys, which is your favorite quote from Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, at the beginning with the scene with the coconuts, when they're sitting, when he's arguing with the guys on the castle, you know, I'm on my royal steed, and they're like, you don't have a horse, it's coconuts. You know, and I love that exchange, but I it doesn't fall in line with like my favorite like sequence. My favorite sequence has got to be the Black Knight, though. So I really enjoy the as they're dismembering him, and him still trying to fight. To me, that's that's great humor.
Yeah, I saw pictures of a guy at a Comic-Con, in a wheelchair. Who was dressed as the Black Knight.
Oh, my God. Perfect.
I mean, that's really got a great sense of humor. Well, yeah, I guess not. But, I mean, the guy, I think the person actually was in a wheelchair is the thing.
And he wanted to cosplay. And,
right. Yeah, and it was cosplaying and, you know, was kind of had a sense of humor about it. But
I love it.
Wait, sorry.
Hold on. If it's for me, I'm not here.
Sorry.
Worse.
My son, actually, I should get him to talk to his dad.
Mom's busy.
Sorry about that. But in any case, Scott, your turn. Which one for you?
See, Dave took mine. It's only a flesh wound. Like, I use that term. Okay, I'm in remodeling and construction, okay? Do you know how often I cut my hands or I nick my shin or whack my head on something that I'm trying to get under or whatever? I injure myself. Minor, you know, stupid little minor injuries, nothing. In fact, I can count three wounds on my hand right now Maybe I should get out of this business. I don't know.
Maybe. I should get tour time with Tim Taylor
or something.
Maybe I'm not cut out for it. Ha ha.
Insert laughter there.
Sorry. So, no, really, I like we say it all the time. Oh, it's only a flesh wound, you know, and we move on. And we, you know, wrap it with duct tape or whatever and go on about our business. Wow, I just had a flashback. Give me just a moment of tangent. So I said duct tape. I'm talking about flesh wounds. So my grandfather was one of the toughest men I've ever known. Okay. Not just emotionally, but just physically, you know, just a tough son of a bitch. Injuries were nothing to him. You know, so this was my image of him growing up as a child. And I remember having a dream when I was younger, probably, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that age range. I had a dream of him where he had cut the top of his head off, like from his brow back, like straight back on like a buzzsaw or something. And I know it's very weird. It wasn't gruesome or gross or anything, but he just duct taped it back together.
Oh God!
Okay, and that's all I really remember about the dream, but it stuck with me all these years. And you guys just talking about it's only a flesh wound, and I said duct tape, and it just brought it all back to me just suddenly.
Wow.
Oh my.
Yes. Hello. How would you like to be inside my head? Thank you very much. You're all welcome.
Kind of reminds me, speaking of like this kind of these spoofy type of movies, in is it Walk Hard? That's like the kind of a spoof of Walk the Line.
Yeah, a spoof of Walk the Line.
He like cuts his brother in half or something and keeps coming to him in his dreams, scolding him or
yeah.
It's a little horrifying.
That was kind of horrifying humor. It was dark. That's called dark humor, I think, right?
Yeah, but I think it's all part of, like, if you study satire, that's, like, one of the number one things that they tell you is, like, a hallmark of satire is that it's gross, it's scatological, it's disgusting, it just, like, throws in your face. Everything that makes you uncomfortable, but yet will still, you know, somehow get you to laugh. But So I think it works for this film. And I don't know if you notice, like, everybody is filthy at all points in the movie, and they're all doing these kind of bizarre chores, like stacking mud or like, you know, like whacking a cat against like a stone wall or something ridiculous and
you can filthy, never go wrong with the catapult either.
yeah, or tossing farm animals over a castle wall at your enemy.
Yeah, catapult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not a catapult. It's a catapult.
A catapult.
Yes.
I think I saw one of those when I was looking around Tower of London not too long ago. The catapult.
Really? They were chucking
cows.
Chucking cows?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. You believe me? No? Okay.
No, don't.
I did see some armor that was well endowed.
Oh, dude, was there a codpiece involved?
Yes.
And did they ask for Hassenpfeffer?
No.
Boom.
Bam.
Nailed it.
Oh my.
Got to mention both of those things in one podcast.
You were just waiting to talk about cod pieces again.
Bringing it all together, you know, last three podcasts. No, that's probably where cod pieces began as armor.
You know, they did, actually. That's true.
Okay, good guess on my part. I'm really not that familiar with them.
No, that's really where they came from. It was protect the manhood.
Yeah, well, you know, it's important.
It was especially important back then.
Yeah.
Think about the role that men like, you know, steedly, knightly men had to portray. They had to protect themselves in that area because they had to, you know, go and rape and pillage and do things and spread their seed.
Yeah. Then they put women ironclad so casting sorry. Belts.
That took a really bizarre turn. I did not mean to go down that route.
Well, you know, we were talking about medieval, you know, practices and such.
It was dark then. It really was. It was really like that was the dark. When they say the Dark Ages, there was a lot in that statement.
Yeah, true. True. But once again, then you can like have a guy completely making fun of it, like jumping around. Oh, no, I thought we were an autonomous collective. King, who's the king? I didn't vote for ya.
You.
He's like,
that,
you
that really
look,
well.
Look, what's that?
You do the English accent really well.
I'm good with languages, I guess.
You got good English diction and stuff.
I guess I lived in England for 6 months, so picked up a little at the time. So, but seriously, when you watch that movie, you have to start talking with an English accent. You know?
I'm gonna have to watch it again. It's been a while. I do remember I remember like getting together with my friends on, I think it was usually Saturday night that Monty Python's Flying Circus was on. And man, there was one time where the basement had, I don't know where the smoke came from, but there was smoke of some sort. It had a kind of a funky smell and we might have been walked in on by grandparents or parents or something. There might have been smoke in the air. I'm just saying. Some kind of smoke. But we were watching Monty Python's Flying Circus at the same time. So
kind of... I would think that would probably be something that would really make that movie even more enjoyable.
Well,
yeah, if you watch Monty Python's Flying Circus, speaking of accents, sometimes it's so colloquial you can't even understand what the heck they're saying.
Sometimes it is heavy.
But it is hysterical. I mean, once you get it. Sometimes it's hard, but once you get it, it just is over-the-top hysterical.
Oh, so you're afraid of a pointy stick? Ooh, afraid of a pointy stick? What if someone comes with your kumquat?
I'm not sure if I know which sketch that is.
Yeah, he's trying to show everybody how to defend themselves against fruit. So it's like, all right, we've learned about the banana, but we want to know what happens if someone comes with us a pointy stick.
Okay, all right. I started remembering the self-defense class now.
Yes.
What about a banana? Oh, my. Oh, my.
I don't know if you guys are paying attention, but if you look at the messenger, I sent you a picture of the armor I took, with the endowment that I mentioned.
What, Facebook? Uh-oh.
Yeah, Facebook Messenger.
I don't know. Are you supposed to be sending this stuff via the internet? In trouble. All right, I'm trying to bring it up now.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I'm having internet problems now again. I'm kidding.
That's Henry VIII.
Oh, my, look at him. Get out of here.
Yes.
Really?
At the Tower of London.
He thought a lot of himself, didn't he?
Yeah, I would think so.
Look at that thing. Holy crap. You know what, though? It's like... It's about the... Okay, it's like a soup can.
Kind of, with rounded edges.
It's about the size of a soup can. Wow.
Yeah, and it's all like cut, like he couldn't have something go flat like over him. He had to cut out a space.
That's awesome.
So it's protruding.
It's so funny because all the other armor was like normal. And like everybody was just kind of walking by and yeah. But right there in the center was Henry VIII's armor. And there was a crowd.
Yeah.
You're like,
well, you can tell he had a lot of confidence in himself.
I would think so.
Wow.
And I'm still in my head I'm still hearing dun 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 dun, and they're marching over the hills and the smoke is going by. And Patsy is like is like clapping the coconuts together.
Wait a minute. I got it right here. Ready? I got it. Hold on.
There they go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is? Do you want to know what that? Do you know
what? What are you using?
So, have you ever seen the Eos lip balm?
Oh yeah.
They look like little eggs.
Those. Well, good, okay. Good. It's kind of like the same shape we're talking about.
But yeah, that's it's like a coconut
mini version.
And so I sit when we're recording our shows. I'm sitting at my wife's desk. I take over her desk for the evening since it's Sunday night. She's not working, so it's cool. So I move her, keyboard out of the way, and she's got one of her little Eos lip balms on the desk here. And when you said, the movie that you picked.
Mm.
I'm like, oh my gosh,
got a brainstorm.
I have a coconut right here.
Yeah.
So
there you go. It sort of works.
I don't know how loud it is, if it's coming across on my microphone loud enough, but
enough to kind of get the gist.
Okay.
There. It is I, Arthur, son of Uther Pendragon from the castle of Camelot, king of the Britons, defeater of the Saxons, sovereign of all England. Pull the other one. I am, and this is my trusty servant Patsy. We have ridden the length and breadth of the land in search of knights who will join me in my court at Camelot. I must speak with your lord and master.
What, ridden on a horse?
Yes.
You're using coconuts.
What?
You've got two empty halves of coconut and you're banging them together.
So? We have ridden since the snows of winter covered this land. Through the kingdom of Mercia, through...
Where'd you get the coconuts?
We found them.
Found them? In Mercia, the coconut's tropical.
What do you mean?
Well, this is a temperate zone.
The swallow may fly south with the sun, or the house martin or the plover may seek warmer climes in winter. Yet these are not strangers to our land.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate?
Not at all. They could be carried.
What? A swallow carrying a coconut?
It could grip it by the husk.
It's not a question of where he grips it. It's a simple question of weight ratios. A 5-ounce bird could not carry a 1-pound coconut.
Well, it doesn't matter. Will you go and tell your master that Arthur from the court of Camelot is here?
Listen, in order to maintain airspeed velocity, a swallow needs to beat its wings 43 times every second, right?
Please!
Am I right?
I'm not interested.
It could be carried by an African swallow.
Oh, yeah, an African swallow maybe, but not a European swallow, that's my point.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Will you ask your master if he wants to join my court at Camelot?
But then, of course, African swallows are non-migratory.
Oh, yeah.
So they couldn't bring a coconut back anyway.
Wait a minute. Supposing two swallows carried it together?
No, they'd have to have it on a line.
Well, simple. They just use a strand of creeper.
What, held under the dorsal guiding feathers?
Well, why not?
And I think if we still have time, I don't know, it seems like... Did you set the timer? Because it seems like I'm kind of going
actually, you went over about a few minutes.
What did your timer go off? I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it either.
Yeah, it but, just a few moments ago.
Okay, well, not too bad.
You should tell us.
I thought you heard it. Last time you heard it.
Yeah, last time we heard. Last time when I heard, anyway.
It was right up in the microphone.
All right, fine. I'll put it underneath the mic. But then again, I'm allowed to talk for an hour, so.
All right, well, I will then maybe share that I think my favorite scene, and you got to love the Black Knight, but beyond that, my favorite scene I think is when they're at the wedding and Sir Lancelot comes charging into the wedding and kills half the wedding guests to rescue what he thinks is a maiden in distress and turns out to be the prince whose father is like insisting that he can't do a musical number in the middle of the show. And stops him He keeps trying to do like a musical cue and the music starts rising and he says, I just want to sing. And the father comes in and says, no, stop. No singing. And they go through the whole wedding scene of, you know, all the wedding guests are like dripping with blood and falling to their deaths and such. And he's trying to avert a musical number. But in any case.
I do not recall that scene at all right now.
Oh, it's hysterical. Well, you know,
I definitely
remember parts of it.
It's a lot of fun. But in any case, once again, satire is full of blood and craziness and
it's only a flesh wound.
Yeah. All right. Well, having said that then, it's going to be Dave's turn. So I guess I better wrap it up. And this has been Bonsai Retro Club. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. You can send an email to McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. I'm on Twitter, SuzeMattaboni.com, Instagram at SuzanneMattaboni80s. And I have a blog out there, Suzanne@Mattaboni.com. And did you guys want to do any sign-off type stuff?
You can find me at 80s Auto Reverse on Twitter.
Okay, cool.
Dave.
All right.
You're good?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, then I get to do the sign-off and say everyone be excellent to each other. And I guess that wraps us up.
All right.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 The Tale of Sir Robin. So each of the knights went their separate ways. Sir Robin rode north through the dark forest of Ewing, accompanied by his favorite minstrels.
Bravely bold Sir Robin rode forth from Camelot. He was not afraid to die, oh brave Sir Robin. He was not at all afraid to be killed in nasty ways. Brave, 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 brave Sir Robin. He was not in the least bit scared to be mashed into a pulp, or to have his eyes gouged out and his elbows broken, to have his kneecap split and his body burned away, and his limbs all hacked and mangled, brave Sir Robin. His head smashed in and his heart cut out and his liver removed and his bowels unplugged and his nostrils raped and his bottom burnt off and his penis...
That's enough music for now, lads.
Brave Sir Robin ran away.
No!
Bravely ran away, away.
I didn't!
When danger reared its ugly head, he bravely turned his tail and
no!
Yet brave Sir Robin turned about.
I didn't!
And gallantly he chickened out, bravely taking
I never
his
did!
He beat a very brave retreat.
All right!